Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. Everybody say insanely calm. That's where we're at. So if you'll give me your attention for about 25 minutes tonight, we're going to go ahead and roll through this part two of Insanely Calm. And I know that's like an oxymoron, because it's like, how can you be insane yet calm? Well, I believe that regardless of what your storm is, regardless of what you're going through, you can be insanely calm. And what I mean by that is, it looks insane to everybody else, because everybody else knows what you're going through. Everybody else can see the storm that you're in. They can see how wet you are and how windblown your hair is and how everything looks a mess, but you're insanely calm. And so what we're talking about is something that I believe that we all can relate to, and it's called storms. Everybody say storms. We can relate to it because we're either in a storm right now, or we've been through a storm. Everybody say through a storm. Now, if you're one of those holy, holy, holy people, speaking of holy, I got a new puppy. And my wife was like, did Dex get into your shirt? What happened to your shirt? I was like, you know that new puppy, he just can't help himself. Anyway, where was I at? I just got totally. Oh, yeah, if you're one of those holy people, if you're one of those holy people that says, you know what? I ain't never been through a storm. I'm not even in a storm right now. Praise God. Everything's good. I'm blessed and highly favored. Hold on. You just remain faithful to God, and I promise your storm will follow you and find you. And the church said, amen. Yeah, it will. It really will. And the reason I say that is because he never promised us an easy life. He promised us a better life. He never promised us the easy route or the easy way. He promised us a better way. And something that I know you may not be able, something I have found out, you may not be able to escape a storm, like just disappear. I've been seeing that commercial or something for the magician guy. I really haven't even watched it. I just fast forward through TiVo. But have y'all seen that, the magician guy or whatever that's on TV? No? Okay, just pretend like you know what I'm talking about. And you may not be able to escape a storm, but I'm here tonight to tell you that you definitely can exist through a storm. Let that settle in. God may not take you out of the storm, but I'm here tonight to tell you, based on my own personal experience, you can exist through a storm. Y'all know last week, I had to test this out in the parking lot. You remember last week, and I know it's upside down, but remember last week I was talking about how we stay under the umbrella. How many knows that before too long, this would actually, if I was in a real storm, this would collect water, and it's really not really doing what it's supposed to do. So sometimes you got to look insane. Whatever the wind, whatever the world throws at you, whatever storm the enemy's throwing at you or God's allowing you to go through, sometimes you got to improvise. Everybody say improvise. How many knows you're supposed to hold it this way, but that way it's not going to work. So sometimes, come on now. Did I say I worked on this in the parking lot? Yeah, I did. Sometimes you gotta improvise. Sometimes it may not be the way you think it needs to be. Sometimes you need to adjust your sails. Sometimes you need to adjust the way that you traditionally or religiously think that it should be done. Sometimes you gotta adjust it so that you're still under God's protection. How many knows that looks insane? But it may look insane, but I'm gonna be dry. It may not be the way it was constructed to do, but I'm gonna stay dry. And sometimes we've gotta do that. We've got to adjust our sails. Lean over to your neighbor, tell them, say, adjust your sails. Last week we looked at three types of storms. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm just going to highlight those. The three types of storms that we go through. Number one, the first storm is that we create, the storms that we create based on our own choices. We go through things. We create our own storm. I told you last week about the quote, how people create their own storms and they cry when it rains. Right? So storms that we create based on our choices. Number two, the second kind of storm we go through are storms that others create. Unfortunately, you've walked up on someone else's storm. We talked about the story of Jonah, how everybody else was feeling the rocking and rolling of the boat, but it was because of something Jonah was doing. Because Jonah was running from God, everyone else was feeling the effects of Jonah's storm. Some of you have people in your life, and you're going through a storm, and it's not even your storm, it's someone else's because they're running from God. Wow. And number three, I'll just leave that right there. And number three, how many know there's four burners on a stove? Sometimes you just got to let it marinate. I'll leave that one right there. The third one is this: storms that come simply because you're following Jesus. It's not really something that you did and made a bad choice. It's not that somebody else you're hanging out with making a bad choice or they're running from God. It's just simply the fact that you are following Jesus. Everybody say storm. All right, let's go to the book of Mark chapter 4. Begin with verse 35. We're going to read the same story that we read last week. But I'm going to hit the pause button as we go through this. And I'm going to be very cognizant of the time because I promised I would be out in 25 minutes. And I will make that happen. Verse 35 says this: that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." How many knows that a lot of times when God gives you directions, notice it said when evening came. That means it was dark outside. A lot of times when God asks us to do something or he provokes us or pushes us in a direction to do something, it's not always going to be during the daylight. How many of you like to travel or drive at night, like you're going to take a trip at night? Anybody like to do that? Some of us like to do it because there's no traffic. I don't, because I don't like Highway 47 leaving this area. I can drive on the interstate, but I don't like 47. Why? Because there's deer and all kinds of other things that are coming along. But when I read this, it was like a lot of times God will ask us to do something, but it's not always convenient for us because we can't see what's ahead of us. But we got to walk by faith, not by what we can see, right? Okay, let's keep on going. Verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. Stop right there. So Jesus gave the instruction, we're going to the other side. So they put Jesus in the boat and they went to the other side. A lot of times we as the church get the instruction or the vision of what God wants us to do, and then we leave God out of it, and then we go on and do our own thing. Hello. But what it said, Jesus gave the instruction, we're leaving from this place and we're going to the other side. Everybody say other side. I love that about God. It's so cool. He's always moving us. He's never going to keep you stagnant. He's never going to keep you stagnant. So they put him in the boat and they obeyed him. And then it says there were also other boats with him. I thought this was interesting to note. Jesus was in the one boat. There were other people in other boats. Just like the church, there'll be people in the church they're following, but they don't have Jesus with them. Okay? They're following Jesus, but he's not in their boat. Verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Verse 41, they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." Tonight, I think it's very important for a few moments that we focus on why God allows us to go through storms. Why does God allow us to go through storms? You know what I'm talking about. Anytime we go, something bad happens in our community, something bad, tragedy strikes, well, we always, especially the Christian, we always go to God and go, "Why?" Or even the unsaved people who don't come to church, but they'll go, "Well, where's your God?" Y'all know anybody like that? Why, God? And, you know, a lot of times y'all have heard me say this because I like that statement, that when you're going through a test or going through a storm, instead of saying, "Why, God," say, "What?" You know, "What is it you want me to learn?" But as I was thinking about this, how many knows that when you go through a test isn't, the teacher doesn't give a test to teach us anything. What's a test for? A test is to reveal what we've learned. A test is for it to be discovered what's already on the inside. So when God gives us a test, that's why it's important that we're doing our study, our homework, so that when the test comes, we're prepared for the test and we pass. Are you tracking me? Okay. Because y'all are like, "I'm just making sure, just making sure." Make sure y'all have rubber suits on tonight. It's like, boing, 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 boing. Everybody say, insanely calm. That's what we're talking about. Tonight, I want to give you two reasons, just two, and then we're going home. Two reasons why I believe God allows us to go through storms. Number one, the reason number one, write these down. Y'all know how we do. Put it in your phone, slap it on your forehead, whatever. Reason number one is so that the storm will develop a greater desperation for his presence. That's why tonight I was saying, God, we need your presence. We need more of you. We don't need more worship songs. We don't need more messages. We need more of his presence. And the church said, absolutely. Absolutely. Storms, he allows us to go through storms so that it develops a greater desperation for his presence. What I've learned is this about going through storms. It develops in me a greater desperation for God. A greater desperation for God. Let's face it. When life is going good, that's when we're the least concerned about where God is. When everything's going good in life, we're not concerned about where God is. I'm pretty sure that when the boys, the disciples, took off and the seas were calm because it said the storm came quickly, they weren't worried about where Jesus was. When did they get worried? When stuff started going crazy. And we're the same way. It's no different today. Listen, when we're on the mountaintop, we don't necessarily think that we need God. Where we're on the mountaintop. The disciples find themselves in the midst of a storm. Why? Just simply because they obeyed Jesus. Jonah wasn't on the boat. Wasn't nobody else's fault. It wasn't anything they did other than they obeyed God. God said, I need you to get in the boat and we're going to the other side. And a storm came up. And the Bible says they were so afraid. We talked about that last week, that fishermen who are accustomed to storms, who are used to that, became afraid because it was no ordinary storm. And they go looking for Jesus. And they find him asleep. Think about it. When the seas were calm, they weren't interested in where Jesus was. They weren't interested. When the rain came and the wind began to blow, that's when they start going, where's Jesus? Anybody seen Jesus? Where the heck is Jesus? Where Jesus at? Y'all seen Jesus? I don't know. Last time I saw him, he had a cushion. He was going down to a cushion. Does he not know what's going on? They start freaking out. How many of y'all ever start freaking out when the storms come? Y'all start, you know, they didn't have Facebook back then, but I guarantee if there was Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they were taking pictures, selfies, look at this wave, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. So they find him asleep. And you know, for some of us, when we hear that, they find him asleep. He's in their boat. They find him asleep. For some of us, that's encouraging. For others of us, that's discouraging, that Jesus is just asleep. We're up here getting wet, getting soaked. We don't worship in church when the worship leader says worship because he don't know what kind of storm I got through. Let me tell you something. God is looking for wet worshipers. He's looking for people who will worship wet. He's looking for people who will worship when they're in a storm. He's not so interested that we come in here in our Sunday best and our suit and tie. He's looking for people who worship wet, with their hair a mess, stuff all cockeyed. He wants to know, yeah, I'm going through a storm. I can't even figure out how to get my shelter right. That looks crazy. He wants to know, will you worship wet when what you're used to and accustomed to ain't working for you? Even when you get into an argument with your spouse, even when things ain't working out, even when your dog chews your clothes, whatever. He wants to know, will you worship me wet? Will you worship me when things aren't rolling the way that you think they need to? Why? Because he wants us to develop a greater awareness of his presence. I know I feel that way sometimes. It discourages me. Like, God, hey, I'm obeying you. Do you not see what I'm having to go through? Have you noticed when you start panicking, you say stupid, dumb stuff? Do you even care that I'm getting wet? He wants to know, will you worship me wet? Will you worship me when ain't nothing going right? Some of the greatest moments in worship for me is when I didn't feel like it. You got to get there, church. You got to get there. You got to push back on that. Because let me tell you something. The enemy, it's like when we walk in, it's like he's standing over the door and he's waiting for you to come in. You ever seen those trick when they put the bucket at the door, somebody opens and they get wet and full of stuff? It's almost like he does that at churches all around the world. It's like when people come in, like, oh man, it's going to be a great day. Praise the Lord. And something, they walk in the door. It's like, ooh, I just don't, so-and-so's looking at me funny and they shady and they talking and all this crazy stuff. And then you get into worship and you're like, look at them down there. He's talking about me. And then you're focused on that. You're focused on that crazy mess and all that insanity when God's calling you to be insanely calm in the midst of your storm. Let me say this. The presence of, write this down. The presence of your storm does not stop the presence of your Savior. The presence of your storm will not, does not, ain't going to happen, stop the presence of your Savior. Never, listen, never ever believe that the presence of your storm means that your Savior is absent. But we feel that way. Even though they knew, even though the boys knew that Jesus got on the boat with them, they want to know where he was. It wasn't good enough to know that he was with them. He was there. They just needed, they needed to see him. Sometimes, and that's where we miss it, because we want to see things in church. And listen to me now. Don't chase after the signs and wonders. Signs and wonders will follow. We need to seek God. Are you listening? Because we get so wrapped up in, I got to see him to know he's there. No, he's there. He was in the boat. He's in your boat. Don't let the presence of your storm convince you that your Savior is absent. In this story, Jesus was actually in the boat. And what I know is the God I serve is just not the God of the mountaintop. He's the God of the valley. I'm not supposed to serve him when everything's going good. And that's easy to do. But he's requiring me to serve him when things aren't going my way. When I open up a can of Pepsi and it just kind of goes all over me. You know what I'm saying? You ever had that happen to you? And you're like right on the way to church, that's cold. Right on the way to church. Well then, I mean, stupid stuff will happen. Like you go pump gas and gas gets on your clothes and that blows. Some people wouldn't even come to church on a Sunday after that happened. They're going to go back home and pout about it. Put your change of clothes in the car for moments like that. Don't allow the enemy to put petty stuff in your way to stop you from hearing what God wants you to do and then being in his presence. Because the enemy will do all kinds of stupid stuff. I guess I got to worship wet. What you think? No pun intended. Don't let the storm convince you that your Savior is absent. What I have found that is in the valley, that's typically when I'm in the valley, when I'm in my deepest, darkest place, that's typically when God reveals himself to me the most. Well, why? Because when things are going good, I'm not looking for him. But he reveals himself when I seek him. We're going to get there in just a moment. Listen, if we never go through seasons in life where we're uncomfortable, how in the world will we ever experience the comfort of God? God is calling us to do uncomfortable things. If we never do that, how in the world are we going to experience God's comfort if we don't get in an uncomfortable place? Are you tracking me? I know that one may be a little hard. Until I am obedient and move out beyond my comfort zone, God will comfort me if I'll be obedient to him. God will comfort you if you'll just be obedient. He'll walk with you through that storm. He'll help you. He will help you get things back right like they're supposed to be if you'll just trust him. But we got a trust issue. We trust ourselves more than we do him. Listen, just because there's a storm present doesn't mean your Savior is absent. We must realize that he is with us in the storm. Everybody say, he is with me. He is with me. Don't listen to that voice of the enemy when you're going through stuff. And, nobody knows. Nobody cares. God, where are you? He's there. Seek him. Seek him. Maybe you've stepped away from him. Seek him. You'll find him. You'll find him. Listen, we must allow our storm to push us towards Jesus. When you put the sail up, the winds come. Let the wind be the power. Let the wind be your power source. Use the storm to your advantage. Don't allow the enemy to use it to his advantage, which becomes our disadvantage. Allow the storm and the wind that's blowing all around you, that's causing you to be disoriented, allow that to power you and push you towards Jesus. I love this in this story. The disciples went looking for Jesus. Matthew 7:7 says this: ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. They didn't know where Jesus was, but they went looking for him. If you don't know where he is in your life, if he doesn't seem present, look for him. You'll find him. You will find him. Listen, that's the time when you start going through something, that's the time that you lift up your hands and go, God, I need you right now to show up. How many of us do that? Instead of saying, why, God? Why? No, throw your hands up and say, God, I need you to show up right now. Show up right now. Listen, it's not in my success, but in my distress that I've experienced God the most. It's not when everything's going good for me that I've experienced it. It's in my distress. It's in my insane times. It's when things get a little crazy that I experience him the most in my life. I'm just speaking for me. I don't know how y'all handle it. I'm just telling you. I experience him the most, and I'm more aware of his presence now in my life. Because I started praying prayers and singing worship songs, God, may we become more aware of your presence. See, because before when things would go crazy, I shared that with you last week. When things used to go crazy in my life, I went crazy. I let my storms control me. And I let them drive me further and further away from Christ when I should have allowed my storms to draw me closer to him. So now when things happen, God, I need you to show up right here, right now. You ain't got to have some perfect prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I cometh before you noweth in my Honda, whatever, to helpeth meeth. No. Hey, God, show up. These people crazy. Oh, he understands that. I'm not going to try to. When I start doing that, oh, dear Heavenly Father, he's probably like, really? Jesus, help me. That's what you say. Jesus, help me. Listen, God allows us to go through storms so it will develop in us a greater desperation for his presence. Listen, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm begging you, don't let your storm draw you away from Jesus. Let your storm draw you to him. You missed a good time to clap right there. You still missed it. Listen, cry out to God. God, are you there? Do you see me? God, I'm desperate. Sometimes in worship, don't worry about it. We're going to do that more often. Come. There's something about being in tight. There's something about being under the spout where the glory's poured out. Being up here. And there may be moments where I'm not even singing anything. I ain't looking at no screens. I'm just saying, God, I'm desperate for you. Sometimes it's not even that I'm desperate. I'm desperate for him, for you. See, that's what leaders do. We stand in the gap for other people who are getting a hell beat out of them. If that offends you, oh well, pray for me. But that's the truth. My role is to stand in the gap and say, God, we need you. We need your presence like never before. And I'll keep saying it for you until you get that praise in your mouth, until I see you come in here when I know all the storms of life are blowing against you and you're worshiping wet. Then we can worship wet together. Because I'm not saying I got it all together. I'm just saying, I'm determined I'm going to worship wet. God, I'm desperate. Reason number two that he allows us to go through storms, that we would see a greater demonstration of his power. If you've ever noticed that when we have a breakthrough in worship, or when we worship him like we've never worshiped before, that's when there's a demonstration of his power in this house. If you want a demonstration of his power in your life every day, in your Honda, in your car, whatever you drive down the road in, if you then start worshiping him. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, that means you're wet. Worship him anyway. The Bible says when they find Jesus, they start asking crazy questions like, do you even care that we may drown? You told us to get in the boat. You're God. You're supposed to know there was a storm coming, Mr. Weatherman. Why are you letting this happen? You're sleeping. That's because when we panic, we say dumb stuff. The story is funny. They're talking to Jesus, the creator of the universe, the one who touched dirt and made a man, who grabbed a rib and made a woman. When we panic and get scared, we say things that we actually do not mean. Oh, y'all can sit there and look holy about that one too, but I know better. When things go crazy in your life, I know y'all let some things slip. And it's not untie my bow style. Who stole my Honda? It ain't nothing to do with Jesus. Y'all be trying to cover it up. I know. I would give an example, but I may slip up and say something that I can't even take back. Y'all be like, ooh. Yeah. Listen. The other thing I found out is when we panic, we lash out. When we go through things, we lash out at other people. When we're running from God and the storms are coming, we lash out at other people. Why? Because we want to see them feel the same devastation and torment that we are. I remember what I told you last week. Sometimes there's people in your boat that you're not going to feel a reprieve or a relief until you throw them out of your boat. Well, how's that true? Because the storm for those boys that we were on the ship with Jonah didn't cease until he got off the ship. You keep playing with people who are running from God. God will work on them. It's not our job to change them. That's the problem with the church. We want to see the magnificent happen. We do it. No, no, no. God does it. All I got to do is preach the word. It's his word that's going to change their life. Ain't got nothing to do with me showing up in Walmart and let me pray for you. If God told me to, I will. But he also says, don't cast your pearl before the swine. I'm not going to give somebody something that's not ready. If the ground hasn't been prepped, I'm not putting no seed in that ground. So, James 1:9, throw that up there for me, Mrs. Weber. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring the righteous life that God desires. What am I talking about? I'm talking about when we panic, we start lashing out at other people. I'm guilty of it. When I'm panicking, I'll lash out at other people because I want them to feel how I'm feeling. Call me Jonah. I'll be running. Run, Forrest, run. Yeah. Sorry. I just watched too many movies. Mr. Ronnie, you like movies? I do too. Faith like potatoes. Gotta see that movie. I'll let you borrow it. Many times in the storm, we think it's up to us to solve it. You ain't vanilla ice. If you got a problem, yo, I'll solve it. No, it's up to Jesus to solve your problems. We feel like it's our responsibility. God will never take it out of your hands. You can give him the mess and he'll take it and he'll correct it. But if you keep it in your hands, you got it on lockdown, he's not going to come and say, pry that open, let me have that. He's looking for a willing vessel to say, I'll give you my mess. I'll give you my mess. I feel like just doing revival and just forget that it's Wednesday night and we ain't got to go to work tomorrow. What y'all think? Not going to do it. We'll go home. My wife's like, boy, that better be God. I'm meddling now. Listen, when we go into panic mode, God is saying from heaven, this is what, when we go into freak out mode, this is what God is saying. You're not going to get through this in your own strength. It will be my strength. Let my power be demonstrated in your life. That's why he wants us and he allows us to go through storms, because he wants to see his power demonstrated in your life. If you're not in a mess, why in the world would you call him and need his power? So we got to go through a mess. So it's nothing more than a platform for your miracle. So you need to be thanking God for the mess, thanking him for the storm, because he's going to demonstrate it's nothing more than a platform for the miracle that he wants for your life. We want the miracle, but we don't want the plate that it sits on or that it's surrounded by. It's called a storm. We want that table to be all dressed up like Thanksgiving dinner with the bird and all the pretty leaves and all that. But sometimes God's saying, I'll give you the answer, but it's going to be surrounded by a lot of other stuff. Why? Because then you'll appreciate the answer. Apostle Paul writes to us in 2 Corinthians 12:9 and says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my, not my strengths, but my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. I'm giving you a lot of words, so y'all just write this down and do it in your own study time. Listen, it's through my weaknesses that God's power can show up in my life. It's when I'm weak that he shows, because of him in my life, I can be strong. It's when I try to flex on my own that I look deflated. Too many Christians walking around trying to be all buff, like they've been going down to Hometown Fitness. No, Jesus, you're just a weakling, but because of Jesus in your life, you will be strong. God will get you through your storm, because he is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Do you believe that tonight? Listen, if you never went through a storm, how in the world would you know you need a Savior if you were never in a storm? How would you know what it's like to have a lifeguard jump in the water with you if you're not drowning? You do know that your problems are a prerequisite for his power. You do understand that your problems is a prerequisite. You have to have a problem in order to have his power. Because there's no need for his power if there's no problem. So start being thankful for your problem. God, I thank you. I need you, but I thank you. Because now I'm going to be able to see your power demonstrated in my life. And check this out. You write this down. Not only is the storm for your benefit, but it's to show other people how to weather the storm. They're going through all that, and look how, that's insane how calm they are. That's crazy. That's what needs to be said of us. So perhaps the storm isn't not necessarily for our benefit, but it's so that other people can see the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit manifested through our lives. Amen? I'm going to say it this way. Give me 5 more minutes. If you got issues, awesome. You got problems, sweet. Yes. I'm serious. Man, I got problems. Good. Because now that's a platform for God to show up and a miracle to show out, not just for you, but for someone else in your family who needs to see something. That's called standing. That's almost a way of standing in the gap. God is using you to be a demonstration of what he can do for other people, if you allow him. If you allow him. In closing, I'm through when I tell you this. We must recognize that we can't solve whatever it is you're going through. We must recognize that you cannot solve it on your own. You cannot solve it on your own. The only way that we're going to get to the other side, everybody say other side. The only way we're going to get to the other side, listen, it's not when you jump ship and swim to get there. Oh, this boat may sink. How many knows that the boats back then didn't have the stabilizer like Carnival Cruise Line has today? When the waves get choppy, the stabilizers come out. Didn't have that. I'm sure it probably crossed their mind. I got to get out. This storm is way too. Can I tell you sometimes that storms also, the enemy can use what God is trying to develop in you. The enemy will try to use that to get you to move off, if you'll keep in mind where we've been in previous messages, to try to get you to move off, give up, get out, and get off of your victory spot that is already yours. Remember what we talked about. Sometimes the enemy will use what God is allowing to get you to move out and never get to your other side. We get so ticked off. We get so distressed because it's not happening the way that we think it needs to. So I'm jumping ship. I'm going to be safe if I'll just swim and do it on my own. I'm a good swimmer. I can backstroke. That's why we got people jumping out of marriages. This storm is way too hot for me. I'm getting soaked. My hair's getting messed up. I'm out. I'm jumping ship. No, stay in the ship. And then you can testify of all the good things that God has done. Amy and I can do that because we didn't give up when times got rough and things got crazy and we got disobedient and we said yes to our flesh. And who cares about everybody else? But we didn't jump ship. Listen, every single problem you have is simply and nothing more than a platform for what God wants to do in your life and for God's power to be demonstrated through you. The enemy sees storms as an opportunity to provoke. Everybody say provoke. Have you ever been provoked? If you're married, you can say yes. I'll give you permission. Amy can say yes. I'll say yes. You've been provoked? The enemy likes to use storms to provoke us. Get out of this marriage. Oh, this business is going. I'm going to start a new business. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do my own thing. Give up. Quit. What did the disciples say? Do you not care? What's Jesus do? He quiets the storm. There's some of you here tonight, they're in a crazy storm. There's not going to be an altar call. I'm just telling you what God wants you to do. He wants to quiet your storm. He wants to quiet your storm. He allowed it for a season and for a time so that we'll develop more of a desire for his presence. It goes on to say, the disciples, after he rebuked the storm, the disciples said, "Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" I've always looked at it this way. This is what I would have said. Who is this that even the winds and the waves do not wake him? See, that's how I want to live. I'm not moved by the storm. Sometimes I have to remind myself. I'm hard-headed. Sometimes I got to remind myself, it's going to be okay. Stop telling everybody else and tell me. That's what he's trying to say. And I don't always get that on the first go around. Mm-mm. That's why there's 6 shots in a pistol. Because sometimes it takes me to get to round number 6 to get it right. The other time I'm just shooting blanks, ain't doing nothing. But is that one that if you're aimed correctly, you'll hit the target. And tonight God is saying, if you'll trust me, I'll give you the ability to hit your target. Stop wandering around. Just stop wandering around. God wants you to be precise and strategic about what he has in store and planned for you. Everybody say precise and strategic. We got to be a strategic church. It can't just be, let's go through the motions. Brother Bradley, sing 4 songs on Sunday morning and sit down and give an announcement. Give us the word. I'm going to go home and eat our pot roast. No, we got to be strategic. What are we here for? Be strategic. Don't allow the storms in your life to get you off track. Oh, I'm talking to me tonight. Trust me when I tell you. Jeremiah 29:11. If you've got a storm tonight, if you're in a storm and you're saying, you know what, I'm giving it, I see the storm in a whole new light. Instead of saying, God, why, I understand. If that's you tonight and you're ready to change and no longer allow your storms to dictate your direction, will you stand? I want to speak something over your life tonight. If you're saying, I've been in a storm, let me tell you something. I had somebody show up at my house last Wednesday. Actually, they called me. Said, what you doing? I said, I'm studying. That's a way of saying, don't bother me. And they said, well, can I come by? Well, actually, they wanted to know, will I meet them in town? I'm in town. I got to give you something. I said, I'm studying. Cool. Can I come by? Yes. Come by. He walks in the door and he says, I don't know what. I had a dream about you. And all I saw was 2011. And I'm automatically going, 2011. Yeah, I remember I went through something in 2011. And then he goes on to tell me, I don't know what it is, but God told me I'm supposed to pray over you and your house and your property that the attack that the enemy is sending will be broken. And in my mind, I'm going, I'm not going through anything. I've been through some stuff, but I'm not going through anything right now. And so I'm trying to work that out. And see, the enemy will try to use what God is trying to direct for you, the word he has for you, he'll try to use that to confuse you. God is not the author of confusion. And so I thought, I just told him, I said, well, Charlie, I said, maybe it's going, I said, I've been through something real recent. I said, maybe I'm in the eye of the hurricane, and maybe it's getting ready to pass over me, and I'm going to pick up the backside of it. I said, I don't know. But I'm telling you, when he prayed, there wasn't nobody else in the house to catch me, for all you Pentecostals that know about being slain in the spirit. But I felt the presence of God, and it was everything I could do to stand up. All I could think of is, Charlie, hold me. I know what you're saying. Well, if it was Jesus, if you fell, it wouldn't hurt. I'm telling you, it might not have hurt then, but my body will ache later. But I'm telling you, the presence of God came in my living room. It was powerful. But I still, there was nothing going on. But I'm here tonight to tell you the storm hit later. And I called him and I said, because I needed to confirm, because I told him in the moment, I didn't want him to walk away feeling like, because I said, I'm not really going through anything, but I'll receive it. But I called him, I said, later, and I said, I was in the eye. It came back around. And I let it mess me up. I said, thank you for praying, because then I knew how to handle it. And he's the one that told me, all of heaven is behind you. And I had to, he reminds me of that all the time. Didn't even go to our church. But he said, I'm with you 100%. I'm not a part of your church, but I'm with you 100%. And all of heaven is behind you. You can't allow the things of the enemy. I apologize, y'all. You can't allow the enemy to dictate your direction. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm speaking this over your life. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. Everybody say hope. Say, I have a hope. And he wants to give you a future. You may not see it. That's because it's in the future. Romans 8:28, over your life. Here we go. Is it in there? Yeah, it is. And we know that in, everybody say in. That means when you're in the storm. I put that in there, all caps. Everybody say in. When you're in the middle of chaos, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. God, I receive that word for my life. God, you have not called me to let me down. You didn't bring me this far to leave me. I thank you that you have no desire to harm us. You have no desire to see wrong done to us. So God, I speak a hedge of protection over every person in this house tonight, God, standing and not standing. And to the attacks of the enemy, and to the storms that are not from you, God, the attacks of the enemy, I speak to those storms that they will cease in the name of Jesus. All confusion would stop, and that we would have clarity to see you, to know you, to experience you, to walk with you, to be led by you. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Keep this word fresh, God. Keep this word fresh on our minds. Oh, we know. For some of us, God, we're just standing in the eye of the storm. It's real calm. God, when the second half, when part two of that storm comes around, God, we can stand on your word. Because the storm is doing nothing more than for us to develop more of an awareness of you in our lives. And also that we might depend on you and not ourselves. Because when we're weak, because of you, we are made strong. In Jesus' name. And everybody in the house said, amen. We love you. Have a great evening.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue his purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.